on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
We do indeed serve a God who can do impossible things. And so when we come together, we bring all of the impossible situations, all of the worries and fears that we have in our lives, we bring them together. We offer them to God in prayer, knowing that God is always there for us. Let us pray together. Eternal God, we thank you that you have placed us within your church, both within these walls but outside of these walls, as a virtual and an in-person family of faith. We thank you for the great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, who have carried the lantern of faith for our generation. And we thank you that we now have the opportunity and the responsibility to hold that light for others. Oh God, let us be the same mind as Christ. Help us to be faithful to the heavenly vision in this place. We pray that you would give us the will and the resolve to do so many things that without your assistance seem impossible. But God, with you, we know we can do them. Give us the resolve to put our gifts and talents forward for your use and for others. Give us the resolve to support and encourage the gifts of others. Give us the resolve to build up a strong community with vision and daring and service to the world. Give us the resolve to nurture a loving, caring community which reaches out always to the least of your children. Give us the resolve to help you to move in people's lives, calling them to your will for them. Give us the resolve to commit our lives and energy on the side of justice and equality for all the peoples of the earth. Give us the resolve to right the wrongs of the discrimination of the past and to transcend prejudice and racism. And give us the resolve to be people of peace who work always for your peace. Oh God, these are such huge things that on our own we cannot accomplish much. But we know that with you, with your strength, with your resolve and your purpose, we can move in these directions. Oh God, we pray for all of the things that weigh on us, our friends and family who have needs, our own needs in our lives. We lift up those who are struggling with health. We pray for healing. We pray for strength. We pray for confidence as they go through their health journeys. We pray for all of those on our prayer list. God, you know each and every one, and you know each need that is on that list. We lift those to you. We lift to you those who are struggling with loneliness, with mourning, with grief. Life can be a lot sometimes, and so we pray for all of those feeling weighed down by all of the things that have come their way. We pray that walking alongside you, they would see that light illuminating your path for them. Oh God, we thank you that with you impossible things are possible. And we thank you most of all for the impossible thing that your Son did when he gave up his life for each and every one of us. We join together in prayer today, lifting the prayer that he taught his disciples, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, as we continue in the sermon series called Joy in the Morning, we are opening again to the book of Philippians today, opening Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Thanks be to God for God's word.
There's one unexpected, really special box. After the loved one has passed away and the family has gathered and the funeral has taken place and the wonderful old life well lived has been celebrated, after all the family has gone home and everybody has gone back to their ordinary, plain old lives, the old mementos have to be gone through. The family has to divide up the furniture and the china. The family gets to decide who's going to take the old dining room table and all the old pictures. The family gets to wonder to themselves, where would this old hutch best be remembered? This old lamp that Grandma used to sit under to work the crossword puzzle from the newspaper every single day. I wonder who could use this in their house. There are so many things to piece through and look over. Sometimes, many times to be exact, it is overwhelming. But every now and again, as you're going through all the old things, the old boxes and pictures and notes, you find an old box full of papers. There's always at least one, it seems. Sometimes this box is full of old notes that have been saved for some kind of unknown random reason. Sometimes it's a box full of birthday cards and anniversary notes. But every once in a while, in this box are letters of correspondence. Love letters from back in the day when people used to actually write letters to each other, not just texts and emails like we do here today, but actual handwritten notes on good, fine stationery with good, high-quality pens. And when you find a box like this, reading these letters is so wonderful because when you read them, you can almost hear the person who wrote them speaking in your ear. It's like they're standing in the room right there with you. You can get a glimpse of what was going on in their life on that day, on how and when and where they were falling in love together. And you can see them through their writing dealing with whatever issue they had at the time that seemed like the biggest and most pressing and complicated issue of their day. That 75 years later, looking back, seems like small change. But at that moment when that note was written, was the biggest thing in the world. It's great to sit and read and listen to these voices coming from these letters. But we know that whenever you find and read a letter like this, we're only getting one side of the story. You only have one person's reply because you don't know the other person and what they have to say. All you hear is one voice. You don't know the full discussion and the full story. All you have is one piece. It's like that for us here today. We're in this Joy in the Morning sermon series, and together we're reading through the book of Philippians. And in this little piece that is often called a book in our Bible, that's often called this book of joy in our Bible, we realize that it's really a letter. Like a letter that we would write someone with pen and paper to someone here today. It's this little letter that we don't know for sure what's going on the other side of the conversation. We don't know what's happening exactly in the Philippian church. But it's obvious from the way that we read it, from the side that we have, that something has happened to cause this letter to be written. There's some kind of disagreement. Some kind of problem going on in the church in Philippi. And so what we have in our Bible, in this book of joy, is Paul's response, writing back to a certain issue at a certain time to a certain people. And so we're left to guess about what was going on in the church there. I mean, maybe. Maybe it so happened that someone got decaf coffee only for the coffee bar at the First Christian Church there in Philippi, and everybody else was up in arms all about this. How are we going to stay awake through the whole entire sermon if all we have is decaf coffee? You can hear the conversation now, right? I mean, maybe someone else disagreed with somebody else about what they posted back on the first century equivalent of Facebook. They posted and then they posted right back, and soon there was a whole tizzy and it was a massive ordeal. And it was one of those things where everybody's blood was boiling and it spilled over online and into work and into church and everywhere else. Maybe, just maybe, someone else was upset about the hymns or where they were sitting or where they parked or what they were teaching in class. We don't really know. All we get is one side of the story. But the thing is, even though we don't know for sure, we are sure that people are the same today as they were back then. And the issues may be shaped a bit differently, but they're still the same issues that face the whole world around us here and now. And so we can take a pretty good guess about what was going on, and we can feel the same issues and feel the same compassion that Paul is writing about. And so you can hear his response. And the response is what we heard today in Philippians 2. And he says it in the most loving and gracious and parental way possible. Whenever he hears about their issue, Paul says, as nice as he can, you all need to work it out. I don't know how, but you all need to live with each other and work it out, whatever is going on in your life. Like a loving mother tells her two children who are fighting about Legos and squabbling about toys and who's going to get the last juice box there in the refrigerator, and she says, you all need to work it out, that you're all you have with each other. This is Paul's response. Work it out together. In fact, he says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in the same full accord and of one mind. He says, do nothing of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as being better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, he says, but to the interests of others. And let the same mind be in of you that is in Jesus Christ. A different version of the same scripture says, adopt the same mind in yours that's Christ. Now, whenever we read this, whenever we hear this, I know what you are thinking. Even though you're watching online, even though you have masks over your face, I can read what is on your mind. How in the world do we do this? Because we know that in our world today, we can't agree on anything. And here we have to take what Paul is saying about having the same love and being in the same mind, doing nothing from like selfish ambition regarding other people as being better than ourselves. We feel like there's no way we can put this into practice. But notice what Paul's saying. Notice what he's really saying. He says that when we as individuals live more like Jesus Christ, if our focus is more on the ways of God's love, in the ways that Jesus calls us to live, then the things that divide us, then the barriers that are separated around us, will be broken down. I mean, we hear it all the time. We hear it all the time whenever our high school kids go on their annual summer mission trip. They go from good old Burlington, Iowa, and they meet up with other high school kids from all over the country. Big cities and small towns and places we've never heard of and places we've always wanted to visit. I mean, Pastor Justin and our youth can tell us story after story of meeting up with our youth group, with youth groups from all over the place together for 1 week to worship and to sing and to serve people who are in need. And each summer in their work camp Sunday, we hear stories about our youth being on work crews with youth that they would never choose to hang out with in school, being in work crews with youth that they would never sit with at lunch on purpose, never hang out with on a Friday and Saturday night with if they had to choose them intentionally. But here they are working together on a mission trip for 1 week, and they get to be the church together. They work together, and they worship, and they see the face of Christ upon each other, and they paint, and they hammer, and they nail, and they talk about where they are from and what's really important in their life. And what we always hear every year is that though the outside world and their school and their family and the whole entire universe tells them about all the ways they are different, and they come with long mental lists about how they are divided up, they realize that they're one together in Jesus Christ. They're united together in God's love. And we hear stories about how they have been adopted into the family of Christ, all because they went to go and serve. Not just their own interests, but to looking out for somebody else first. And they realize that that's enough to bridge any gap or division or barrier they have. You see, that's a model for us. That's what Paul is telling his friends in Philippi in this little tiny letter, this little book of joy. He says to us that we have to work it out. Because if we find ourselves focusing on all the things that are wrong, on all the divisions around us, all the problems that we have, if we get distracted by all the ways of the world, then we are missing the point. Because Jesus calls us to live a life of humility and grace and peace, of finding the best in people because they're made in the image of God just like us. Because we know that the world around us is hurting and is broken and is in pain. And Paul knew this because it was the same then as it is now. And so we're called to get past our divisions, to get past all of our differences, and to know that by coming together in the name of Christ is enough to heal this broken world and to share God's love together. Amen.
If I see the don't have love, where's my breath of every song I read? An empty voice, a hollow lungs. If I speak with a silver tongue, convince a crowd that don't have love for me. A bitter taste with every word I say. So let my life be the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you're made of. How you live, how you die, love is sacrifice. So let my life be the proof of your love. If I give to a needy soul but don't have love, then who is poor, it seems? All the poverty is found in me. So let my life be the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you're made of. How you live, how you die, love is sacrifice. So let my life be the proof of your love. Whoa. When it's all said and done, whoa. When we sing our final song,
Thanks so much for joining us for worship today, for being here in our sanctuary and being a part of our church family. Thanks so much for joining us online. We hope that whether you're here in person or with us virtually, that the Spirit of Christ has filled you and blessed you and renewed you in your own journey of faith here today. If during these days you felt the presence of Christ moving and alive in your life, and you've never made before a public confession of faith that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're invited to come forward during our final song and make that confession of faith today. If you're watching online, you're invited also to send us an email or to reach out to us so that we can be praying with you and for you and help you in your own journey of faith. Along with us, if you're not yet a member of First Christian Church, that this is officially your church home, we also invite you to come forward or to reach out to us here today. We know that even in these odd and strange days, that the vision and mission of our church continues on, that we are a place that is growing in faith and sharing God's love. And so we invite you to offer your own tithes and offerings. You can do so on our church website. You can mail your check into the church here. You can also drop off something in an envelope in one of the offering plates outside of our main sanctuary doors. All of our gifts together, all of our tithes and offerings help us live out our vision and do the work of Jesus Christ even here and now. Let's stand for our final song together.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing, everyone sing, holy is the Lord, God Almighty, the earth is filled with His glory, holy is the Lord.
The love.
mighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory.
As we leave the sanctuary today, Pastor Brooke and I will come to the front row and dismiss you all row by row. So we go now in peace to serve Christ in all we do. Go in peace. Amen.
There is one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. There is one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. I'm forgiven of my sins, and I've been baptized in the water, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, I'm forgiven of my sins, and I've been baptized in the water. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, I'm free, really free in my prayer. There is one name under heaven.